Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. Obviously talking a lot of Phillies. Phillies lose last night 3-1 in San Fran. They're back at it tonight. And you know what tonight is, guys. You know what tonight is, Hugh.
Yeah, that's Taiwan.
Taiwan night for you.
Oh.
Taiwan on the mound.
I think
you're
gonna step up to the plate tonight. Put some monies on this thing.
How excited are you to watch your guy tonight back out there?
How excited am I?
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. Sound excited, huh? You know what? I'm not going to lie, because I know everybody's kind of waiting to see what I'm going to say. I don't have a feel for this one. I don't have a feel for his outing today.
Oh, it's not inspiring.
I mean, it's not. I know. I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't lie to the people. I just don't have a feel for it right now.
First time back in the rotation.
Yeah, maybe once we get to the end of the show, maybe I'll have a little feel for it. But there, right now, I don't know.
There you go. So we'll get more into that later on. But the Phillies back in action tonight. Taiwan on the mound. If you want to vote on any of our numerous poll questions, go to at WIP Midday Show on Twitter. This one was specifically...
There's a lot of them up.
Yeah, this is a lot of polls up. This one caught my eye, though, Hugh.
What you got?
Has Hugh Douglas gotten too soft? That's one of the poll questions.
Well, Kyle did that. Kyle put that up there.
Somebody did. I don't know.
Me?
I don't know exactly who it was, but somebody put that up there.
I'm trying to live a different life, man.
It was Max. Did Max put it up?
Yeah, Max did it.
Yeah, it probably did.
He's already got you with the mints earlier in the show.
Yeah, putting mints in my mouth and taking them out. That's going to be a party.
Yeah. So
I put the mint. Like I was trying to, he caught me with the mints.
Tasty, though.
The mints.
So a couple of the Phillies topics talking about today. Do they need a big splash, or are you okay with minor moves at the trade deadline? I think they need a big splash. Think they need to do something to change face of this team, whether it's trading a guy like Alec Bohm, whether it's trading the top prospects, even Andrew Painter, I consider. Do you think they need a big splash, or are you more on Hugh's side and think a couple minor moves would be good enough?
A couple minor moves, I feel. You know, get a nice, decent bat, get some pitching help in the bullpen. I think you'll be fine.
There you go. And also, talking about Rob Thompson, should he have gotten ejected last night after the disgrace that was Phil Cuzzi in the eighth inning? Show a bit of a pulse. You want to get on that, you're welcome to as well. Get back to the phones in a second here. But I needed to mention something real quick regarding the Sixers. Because, you know, I've been feeling, I'd say, more positive about them lately. Saturday night, watching Vijay Edgecombe was very exciting. He looked great in his debut. Had 28 points, 27 shots, but whatever. It was nice to see him be aggressive. He missed last night with a thumb injury, which typically you won't worry about too much, but it is the Sixers. So you always worry about how this is going to turn into, you know, the next injury catastrophe here. But the thing that really bothered me is the news that came across yesterday that the Sixers are bringing back Kyle Lowry. For another year.
One more year. For his 20th NBA season. I thought that was pretty cool.
You thought that was cool?
Well,
Hugh thinks Tobias Harris is cool.
Oh, yeah. Hugh's the Tobias guy.
Because I have vision. I have perspective.
What's your perspective on the Kyle Lowry move?
I look at it like this, man. I think Kyle is a good veteran to have in the locker room because he can help the young guys. I think that's what you bring a guy like that back for. Because when you look at the ones that you would think that would be in the position of being a nurturer, I mean, and that's me. Let me be fair to Paul and Embiid. That's me on the outside looking in. And I'm going strictly off of some of the things that they've done and said in the past. You know, and that's the only thing I can go off of. I'm not in the locker room every day, but, you know, I'm here to recklessly speculate about their leadership skills. The fact that Paul George made it public that he's going to stop podcasting and get ready for the basketball season during the basketball season does not sound like a leadership role to me, or a person that's in a leadership role. And the other thing that I look at is when Joel Embiid gets mad that Tyrese Maxey calls him out about his work ethic, and Joel Embiid wants to go find the person that told Tyrese Maxey on him or whatever.
Right.
So I look at Kyle, and he might not be as decorated as those two guys, but he's been a solid pro his whole career.
And I kind of get that, but this is the thing that I don't understand then. Well, then why the hell did you bring Eric Gordon back last week? Like, I thought that's what Eric Gordon was for. You don't need two. You have two players on your roster who are a combined age of like 78 years old. That's between Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry.
Combining their ages.
What are we doing here, man? They're like 40-year-old men. I mean, what is the point
because
of this?
I feel like you like what you got from those guys as opposed to what you got from the actual guys you're paying a ton of money from.
I mean, sign a young player you can develop. I get it if it's one of those guys.
But both
does not make sense. Makes no sense. Like, seriously, I'll go back to the combined age thing.
What's the combined age of you two?
79 years old.
We look about what? 70?
Probably a little older than that.
Probably a little older.
You guys are probably in your 90s.
I'm 38.
Oh, we in our 80s.
You thought I was 30? Thank you.
How old are you?
38.
Oh yeah, we about. You almost made me cousin there. We about 90.
we're older than those guys.
Oh, you're deep in your twilight. As a show.
Hey, you know what? I'm ready to. Listen. If I'm 90, I'm about ready to go because ain't nothing working right about that point.
Well,
nothing working.
Well,
how about that D, baby?
No, I ain't talking. I'm just talking. I'm wearing a diaper probably.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
You might already need that considering.
See, I didn't fart. I don't care what.
Joe and I are the same age, so the age didn't increase or decrease.
All right. Well, that's good. That's at least.
What do you think about this, Kyle?
Well, so one of the things that I liked about the direction of the Sixers, and I know that's there's few and far between. Is that I thought that the youthful direction that they were going in was a good sign, and I thought at the very least, you know, like the idea, Paul George and Embiid are here next year. There's nothing they can do about that. That, I think, is sort of the last remnants of the weenies that the Sixers have on this roster.
Need to get rid of the weenies.
They need to tip the weenie scale, at least. And I made the comparison to the Eagles after 2023, when you had a guy like Darius Slay, who was leaning heavily towards the weenie vibes, with I'm not tackling anybody, this and that. And then you get some tough young guys in here, like Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, and they put things into perspective for you, right? And you sort of think like, hey man, these kids are hard workers. I'm not going to be the old guy that's just, you know, I don't want to not be able to keep up with these kids. And it's almost embarrassing if you're Joel Embiid or Paul George that these young kids are outworking you. You're supposed to be the veteran presence there. So I like the idea of, you know, getting McCain here, Maxey is here, and VJ Edgecombe now, and just sort of injecting some youth and energy into the locker room.
Grimes, if you bring him back.
Sure, right. And, like, you know, it's not that Kyle Lowry totally cuts that out from the knees, but, like, it's not, like, I don't love the idea of bringing back a bunch. Like, I don't think that's what Joel Embiid needs at this point. I don't think that works for him, is bringing an older guy who's kind of like a, hey, what are you doing type of dude. I think he needs somebody that makes him almost look in the mirror by extension, not like by telling him that he needs to look in the mirror, but something that might almost embarrass him in a way. Mm. Like, what am I doing right now? And I don't think this is one of those things that I don't think that's a step in that direction. Kyle Lowry thing.
And first of all, just like they should stop. This shouldn't have anything to do with Embiid. Like, stop thinking about Embiid. You know, Embiid, if he plays, he plays. If he doesn't, whatever. But like, you have only a certain amount of roster spots. You look at a guy like Justin Edwards last year, who you brought in later in the year when your team was tanking, but you found the player who you kept, and
he worked hard, too.
Right, and you think can play a role for you. You could use one of those roster spots that you're giving to Eric Gordon or Kyle Lowry on a guy like that. And again, like, I get having one of those guys, I just think both of them being back here is totally redundant. Makes no sense.
Wait a minute. Wasn't he the guy last year that he was out there balling out and somebody said, you're only playing because, you know, everybody else is hurt?
Yeah,
was
probably. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, TK, but in the sampling size that we saw, I don't think it's enough to warrant him actually getting a roster spot because I think at that point they were mailing it in.
Yeah. But, I mean, Edwards going to be on the team.
Yeah. I mean, but they were melody.
Yeah. No, they were. I just, the Lowry and Gordon thing just, I don't know.
It just bothered you a little
bit.
Well,
I just saw Shams tweet out, the Sixers have agreed on a one-year deal with Kyle Lowry, and he's going to bring veteran leadership, and I'm just like, get out of here. What a waste of time this is. But your thoughts on Kyle Lowry and Eric Gordon, if they're on the court together, that's got to be the oldest backcourt in the league, maybe in NBA history. Maybe that's what the Sixers are. Maybe they're looking to set a record, at least in something. Can we put together the oldest backcourt in NBA history?
We start combining ages.
Yeah. They're almost 80 years old combined. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Justin in Yonkers. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to touch on last night real quick, and then I do want to talk deadline. Yeah, when it comes to last night, of course, Topper, you know, that was egregious. I haven't seen umpiring like that since Angel Hernandez, you know, retired. That was terrible. He's got to get rung for that. But and you know, I live in New York, and they don't really like him up here. But I see a lot of Aaron Boone, and I think Topper's a better manager than him. But I do wish he had a little more Aaron Boone in him. Like, I do like when a manager has his guys back, and I think it does a lot for the locker room. Hugh kind of mentioned it. It's like asking him to be something he's not. So I don't really know what. I can't get too mad about it, but yeah. And the trade deadline, I think they need to go all in. I think, you know, this is probably the last year of this core, and you can't waste Zach Wheeler in this starting pitch. So you need to go all in. I think Dombrowski will, because the last couple of years he tried to bargain shop and it hasn't worked out. So I think he will. And I think when it comes to like getting a bat, that's the one place you cannot bargain shop. Like, if they're going to go middle of the road and get like a Taylor Ward, I'd rather them not even waste their time. I'd rather them go all in on the bullpen. But Jose Ramirez from Cleveland is the guy. That's like my dream scenario, because Cleveland is free falling right now. They're like 10 games below 500. And that's the type of guy I'm willing to give up Painter or Miller, not both of them. And I'll throw in Crawford and Abel into that also. I want to see what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one, Justin. I appreciate the call. And yeah, I mean, Cleveland, what happened to them? They've totally fallen apart. They're 7 games under 500. They're looking like they're going to be a seller. The one guy on Cleveland that we had kind of brought up internally before the show was Stephen Kwan, the outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
He'd make some sense here. I mean, if you could pry him free, put him out in left field, that's a major improvement in left field over what you got.
What are we potentially giving up, though? Are we talking about prospects in this situation?
Yeah, I think you're talking about prospects for a guy like that. And you might have to give up Painter for a guy like that. And the thing with Kwan, he's not a guy who's going to hit a lot of homers, but
he's also a lefty.
Yeah, he's a lefty. You probably put him at the top of the order. Probably him, Trey, 1-2. But then you could have all those big boys in the middle. You know?
I don't know. Wonder if he hits. I mean, you know, he might be a lefty, but he could hit left-handed pitching well. He's not terrible against left-handed pitching. I mean, he doesn't hit for power off of lefties, but I mean, it's definitely a younger guy that I'd be interested in for sure.
A top four of your lineup of Kwan, Turner, Harper, Schwarber. I mean, you could do a lot worse than that. So that's one that's intriguing as well. And those are the kind of names that I think could be available. And again, you look at some of these teams, it's becoming more clear, like a team like the Guardians falling out of it, team like the Twins falling out of it. Byron Buxton's a guy whose name's been mentioned in trade rumors as well. And he's been linked to the Phillies for a few years now. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Joe in Turnersville. What's up, Joe?
Joe. Well, you kind of stole the thunder. First, I want to give props to Hugh Douglas. I've been listening to him every day. Not only does he know about football, but he educated himself on baseball, and I think a lot of people should be listening to him more.
I appreciate it, Joe. I don't know about that, though.
I'm telling you, because I've been following baseball since 1964. The only time I give
much
up
appreciate.
These top prospects, if I get a difference changer. And you mentioned my guy. I would try to make a trade with the Twins for their closer and the center fielder. I'm willing to give up Crawford, Abel, and maybe Miller. There's two untouchables for me. The catcher that they have, Tatis, and Painter. The one thing I give up Painter for is a deal with Pittsburgh. Painter, Abel, and throw in a mid-level prospect for Skeens. And then
I don't think the Pirates are doing that, Joe.
But that would.
Hold on a second.
That would be exciting.
I hear you.
Yeah, it would.
Now,
be.
I got you. I hear you. I just read two that, and this is this fan-sided nonsense, but basically, they were offering Skeens to the Mets and to the Dodgers. And I didn't see any top prospects there. I saw mid-level prospects for them. So that Painter has a chance to be very special, whether he is or isn't, to your point, the prospects. But I'm not just throwing him in for like Cedric Mullins and all these. They're a little bit better than what we have. You need a difference maker. The previous caller mentioned the third baseman for Cleveland. Okay. But you definitely need a shutdown closer. That's the only way I'm giving up these blue chip prospects, a difference maker. But I'm with you that I would rather see him make a splash, but it has to be the right splash.
No, I hear you, Joe, and I appreciate the call. And I think what Joe's referring to, ESPN just put out this like hypothetical monster trade piece where they threw out possible trades for Paul Skeens. The Pirates would be insane to trade Paul Skeens.
He's hot. He's a hot commodity.
The Pirates are insane.
Yeah.
They're dumb.
That would be awesome to have. Look,
there's like no point to their existence other than to be a farm team for the rest of Major League Baseball.
No point.
Well, do you think
they're not going to build around Paul Skeens.
Would it be smart for them to trade him? Like, honestly, I don't think it would be.
I don't think it'd be insane.
So what would it take? What would it take to get the conversations flowing?
Well, for me?
With the Pirates.
I don't know. But
Painter, Miller, Crawford, all of them?
It would be difficult to find too many things that I wouldn't trade for Paul Skeens.
Dude, could you imagine a playoff series with a rotation of Wheeler and Skeens in 1 and 2?
He's nice.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if Skeens were to become available, publicly available, via the Pirates right now, I mean, the Phillies would have to jump in on that. I feel like every team in Major League Baseball that's a contender would, like, you wouldn't have a choice.
Could you imagine the nightmare scenario, though, where the Phillies trade for Paul Skeens? They have this incredible rotation, and they lose two games in a three-game series, 1-0, with Wheeler and Skeens on the mound. I mean, it's my fear, and I think it's possible.
People blow their stack.
Yeah.
Something like that happened.
Yeah, but they threw out this other piece, this other fake trade or hypothetical trade for Byron Buxton, which would be the Phillies would offer Painter and Crawford for Buxton. That's too much for Byron Buxton. I think he's a nice player, but he's not a guy I'm giving up Andrew Painter for. What about you, Hugh?
Nah. Yeah. Don't sound like it, but Skeens? Yeah.
No, for Buxton.
No, but I'm just saying, not him, but Skeens probably definitely.
Skeens, yeah. Skeens, definitely absolutely. Skeens. Because he's like, Painter.
He looks nice. He's very, very, very good.
He's what you hope Painter could come close to being. Yeah. Let's go to Patrick in Tabernacle. What's up, Patrick?
Morning, guys. Good afternoon. How we doing there?
What's going on, man?
Hey, TK, man. I'm laughing my butt off listening to you. You're like doing mathematics and algebra, figuring out the Sixers backcourt. They got some old timers back there playing.
I mean, seriously, they want us
Yeah.
It's an old crew back there.
Yo, Hugh. Real quick, Hugh, man. I was telling Kyle, listen. If you're worried about stuff in the water, like you, man, there's all kinds of stuff in the bays in New Jersey.
I'm trying to tell Kyle that.
Yeah.
Kyle doesn't believe me.
Listen, yeah, we were just, because I sail and we swim. We anchor down and we swim it. Like, the water right now is ridiculously warm. And with these warm temps, like this time last year, they had the cold water upwelling. And these temperatures were low, man. You couldn't even, like, hang in the water. But this year, like, temperatures are up. And, we had right in the marina, right in the lagoon, there's a dogfish, which is a shark, swimming right there, Hugh. We're out swimming. And we see they got these bullnose rays. They're like 3-4 foot across. And when their fins come up, the tips of their wings come up, and they look like there's two small sharks because you see their tips. So, like, if you're worried about it, just stay the hell on the dock. Don't get wet.
I mean, I'm gonna do that anyway. But I appreciate I appreciate the heads up. Yep. I wasn't getting in the water anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm trying to tell Kyle and those guys, man, they don't believe me.
Yo. And listen, at nighttime, I put this special light in the water to attract all the marine invertebrates. You're worried about the big stuff. There's a lot of little stuff in there, too, Hugh, that would freak you out. A guy like you, you'd be like...
Like wolf fields?
No wolf fields. Okay, you got to go up to the North Pole for that.
I think they're up north a little bit. Yeah.
But listen, hey, the Phillies, like Dombrowski, TK, I was cracking up. I think I'm more like you with the Phillies, the outlook. Look, they have cold bat syndrome, and the team that they started this season is the same team that ended last season, and the same team that ended the season before. You know, this pitching is great, but last night, listen, I didn't stay up for the game, but I've been saying all year, like up the middle defensively, you don't get better defensively, like all of a sudden, We got a hole in defense up, you know, through the middle. We got this cold bat syndrome. I hear people calling it and stuff at the worst time of the game. And you keep saying it. When the moment in the game
the
comes
moment,
to you,
yeah, it's the moment too big.
And that's it's just kind of how this team has morphed into. And I don't, you know, and the arms, the starting pitching, you know, will certainly get us somewhere, but it's still. You know, to me and Dombrowski, like, you know, I'd put any trade or reasonable exchange, you know, anything off, you know, reasonably, I'll listen to.
Like, yeah.
Anybody and everybody is on the table for me, because this is it. I really believe if we don't do anything this year, that the window that we're in right now that's still open, it won't be there. And that's kind of what, you know, I'm trying to not. You know, I'm trying to enjoy the season. It's hard. It's 162 games. It's a lot of games.
Just
to
take
game by game. And like, we're not wired as fans, at least I'm not. You know, so it's constantly like going against the grain, just trying to, you know, game by game. And that's why I take it in series. Go, you know, series to series to series. And that's for me a better way to, try to stay with things.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Patrick, and I appreciate the call. And yeah, I mean, I would, like, if I was confident the minor moves would work, I'd be fine with that. But the thing is, we've tried that the last couple of years, and they have not worked.
Yeah, but we also ran it back, because we got a pretty good baseball team, and it just feels like this year, like, the biggest thing we're concerned about is the bats. Let's just be honest, because that has been our Achilles heel the last couple of seasons. The bats have been cold. So now the pitching is phenomenal. Now we're just trying to figure out how we can get a couple of runs, get some runs, man, get some people on base and move some runners. That's it.
Yeah, and I mean, you just got to find a way. And it feels like they're just stuck right now in this kind of weird purgatory where they're a really good team. They're going to be a playoff team, probably going to win the division. But at least the way I view it, I don't think they're good enough to win a World Series right now. 215-592-9494. I got to say, Hugh, I looked up the wolf eel. These things are terrifying.
Yeah. And
like,
you know,
this
what?
One picture of this guy holding this wolf eel is horrifying.
And let me tell you, the thing of it is this, that they still, when you cut their heads off, they still bite.
Really?
Yeah, they have a vicious bite.
Is it like just like a reflex thing?
Yeah, it's a reflex thing. Yeah, they still bite. Like, I've seen pictures where people have cut the heads off and the head still bites.
So are you worried about this kind of thing, like being in the Atlantic Ocean?
No, I'm not. I mean, Kyle, I say certain things and Kyle likes to make fun of me sometimes, man. But I mean, wolf eels are a hard thing.
Hey, in Hugh's defense, these wolf eels are
scary. They're pretty gnarly looking.
You never know where they're going to turn up.
It's just an out there thing. Like, I understand. You're like, I'm not going to the ocean, sharks, stuff like that. My head doesn't go to wolf eels when I think of dangerous things. Like, it's just it wasn't on my radar.
My head goes to anything that has teeth that will bite you. Like I was telling them, the Goliath grouper. The grouper put hands on you too. Like they can get pretty big, man.
Are you more scared of Goliath groupers or wolf eels?
Now I gotta look up a Goliath grouper.
You never seen a Goliath grouper?
No. I'm gonna look it up right now.
I would probably say, well, where we go in Clearwater, when we go down for baseball, the grouper is probably the biggest issue.
Yeah, these groupers,
groupers will try to swallow you whole too, dog.
There's no way a grouper's swallowing you whole.
Here's the thing, though. I sent a video a couple days ago that they never acknowledged. I sent it to Kyle and I sent it to Joe. And they just completely forgot about it.
Well,
it was the snake. You saw it. I know you saw it. The snake ate that little dude, man. Ate that man.
And how did that make you feel, Hugh?
That ain't going in the woods.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Well, were you upset that they didn't respond?
I tell them certain things. Listen, I'm here to try to keep us safe. They laugh and make jokes. So I send them detailed stuff about what's going on in the world, and they just, you know, they just act like they don't see it.
Okay.
I sent them
just
the one about
the
shark in the lake the other day. They ain't said anything about that either. But I sent them
shark
out.
In the,
it was a shark in the lake. I know. Go back and look at the videos that I sent.
Kyle.
They cut the snake open, and the dude was in there, and his wife was crying and everything. Yeah, the snake ate him.
I guess he didn't survive.
No, it was a wrap.
That was a wrap. All right. Oh, now you're making me scared. There,
thanks for bringing us down, Hill.
No, I mean, I'm here. That's what I'm here for.
215-592-9494. Continue taking your calls on all this stuff coming up. A major splash mover, a few minor moves for the Phillies at the deadline. Plus, when we come back, bring back a segment from last year's trade deadline, trying to find a mash for the Phillies that makes sense. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio, alongside Hugh Douglas, this is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.